people told me I couldn't do a lot of things.
I feel like I'm the chosen one.
Look at this. We created this. This didn't exist before we were here. All we are is proud and passionate. I love Toronto. I love this team. And we're going to the NBA Finals.
Nothing matters but winning.
Welcome back to episode 78 of Rapsville Weekly. I'm your co-host, Gabriel Celio, alongside
Mr. Kisucci.
And Mr. Birch. All right, today we have three games to talk to you guys about. The Raptors have won two out of the three games. We haven't said that one in a while. It's actually looking like we could be making the playoffs. I know the last episode we had the tanking design. We might have to switch it up for this one because it looks like there could be some hope left. But before we get into that, as always, please like and subscribe. Leave your comments down below. And check us out on Instagram at Rapsville for NBA news and Raptors content.
Yes, sir. So let's hop right into this one. I kind of wanted to talk about, well, a sudden thing that we have to do kind of right now. We're kind of put in the situation where Freddie Gillespie's 10-day contract is up with the Raptors. Gabe, what do you think is going to happen with this?
Okay. So what I'm thinking with him is I think another 10-day would be smart, would be a smart decision. You don't want to jump into signing a guy, I guess. We are near the end of the season. But a 10-day is kind of like the same thing. You know, it's kind of like you have the guy signed anyways. He can help you out for this stretch. Talking about that area, I guess, I like what I've seen. I think that there is obviously work to be done technically, you know, in terms of some of his rotations, kind of playing with the offense, trying to find his role there, scoring the ball. There's definitely work to be done. But I think he has the body, the NBA body, the physicality, the energy, the winning mentality, the bruising aspect, the stuff that we need. I just feel like it's just the technical stuff he has to work on now. But we've given him opportunities. I think he's played well in his time, you know, game in and game out. Even if he has rough stretches, like we saw the game that we just finished watching, the Raptors versus the Magic. He started off slow, but near the end, he picked it up when he had his minutes. He started making buckets. He started getting rebounds. He started showing his worth, obviously, because probably his last game on the contract. So I think that he has some of the necessary foundation. I feel like we can develop him to be a solid backup for us if he does get minutes. Cause I really think this kid has some type of potential. I don't know what it is. He doesn't always play the best, but there's something about him that I like.
Yeah, first of all, I want to agree with you with the 10-day contract. I totally think that's the right step to go in terms of signing him. And he hasn't done enough to, I think, sign him on the contract deal yet. Because he hasn't been like producing double doubles or anything really spectacular. But for the minutes he's been getting, and he hasn't been getting a lot because Nurse has kind of played him into his role, I thought he's done great. I mean, his inside finishing needs a little bit of work, but his work ethic, his screening is very good, and his rebounding is already good at an elite level in the NBA. So I really think this kid has a lot of potential. And he fits so well in this team, like you said, Gabe, because he fills and plugs the holes that we really haven't been the best at, really, with the rebounding, the inside defense. So I think he really fills those roles to a max, really. And that's why this is so important to, I guess, really extend him to that 10-day contract.
Yeah, the thing that's been interesting is that we've done a lot of, you know, resting. We're going to talk about it. But with doing that, we've had so much opportunities for other guys to step up. And we've been without guards for most of the games here. So we've really been paying big lineups. We've been playing two centers at a time, you know, Boucher and Birch, Gillespie, Birch. We've really stacked on a lot of big guys. And for some reason, you know, we understand that rebounding has been our toughest, spot as a team. I think that these double centers have really caused us to, you know, get our rebounding up, get our interior D up. We're playing better and we're winning more games like this. So it's actually working out good, but obviously, you know, once the guys come back fully healthy, we're going to go down. We're not going to stay that big anymore, but I don't know. I just like seeing it right now. So I think that the having an extra guy like him, just a big bruiser, is really going to help us.
Yeah, playing with so many forwards, you would think the offense wouldn't have as much rhythm and it would be very choppy, which in some cases it has been over the last stretch of games. But we've seen a bit of an offensive flow. We're really getting better looks, and that's the one thing. With Kyle and Fred in the lineup, I think the one con is that we're taking a lot of deep, deep threes and very contested ones, difficult shots that maybe they can hit, but sometimes they overdo it and they take a lot of them. And it kind of hurts the team in the long run. With these forwards really getting good inside looks, and I think that's a better percentage way to play. And I really think that that's been a beneficiary of why we're scoring so much on the inside of late.
Yeah, the true test, I guess, will be when we verse the Brooklyn Nets, you know, a tougher opponent who come with a couple of superstars. That matchup, I think, is like next Wednesday. I don't know what we'll do with Gillespie in that time. Let's say we re-sign him. I think that will test then how we do if everyone's present now that we have these new pieces and these other bench players that have been stepping up. If we can find a way to play really strong and Nurse finds his rotations and gives guys their minutes, I think we'll be able to tell what's going on with this team.
Yeah, well, let's jump right into lineup predictions. And when everyone coming back, Lowry, obviously OG from rest, Gary from the injury, Siakam from rest, with everyone healthy, Gabe, I want to give you a rundown of the full rotation, starting with you. You'll give your opinion, but give me a full rundown of the whole rotation.
Honestly, I'm going to say that this one's tough for me because I've got an attachment to all these bench players that we've seen play a lot more minutes because of the rest stuff. But obviously, if we're talking realistically, I think I like... So far, I think Trent in the starting lineup, you know, he's had great games. I think that, you know what, I did say before when he first came here that off as a six-man, he'd be fantastic. But, you know, I think if we left him on the starting lineup, I think that'd be all right. Him, Fred, Kyle, and then doing the OG Siakam small ball. And I think what we can do there is we often take off Kyle first because we like to play him with a bench unit to get a veteran and a guard, a playmaker off the bench. So let's say you do that. You have those five guys starting. Then you take Kyle off. In turn, you can put in a center then, like we've often done, Chris Boucher, let's say, or Kem Birch. And then the next guy we take off, let's say it's OG, you can put in the opposite. If Kem Birch goes in first, then you put Boucher after, vice versa. Because I like what I've seen with those two centers playing together. And then if you have them two in Siakam or OG, whoever the third forward is, you're having that big lineup that's been doing well for you. And then you can cycle the guards. You take off Trent, you could put in Malachi. And then once Fred's done, you can put in either, I think, Watanabe or Watson have been the two guys who've been playing pretty good. I would go with one of them to fill that fifth spot off the bench. And then the other guys, maybe if Gillespie's there or Stanley, if you have the odd minute, you could put them in. But I think the small ball five and then doing the double bigs after and finding the proper rotation to get everyone their minutes, Watanabe, Watson, I think that'd be a solid lineup for us.
Yep, I totally agree. I agree with that. I'm thinking Lowry point guard, Bambi shooting guard. I'm thinking OG still at that small forward position, Siakam at the power forward, and obviously what you said with Birch, I think is the best option here. Then when you look at the bench, I think Trent, I think will succeed on the bench. I think he'll have the ball in his hands more to create and kind of run the system and kind of get used to it more. Also with Malachi Flynn, I think he's done enough to kind of get into that position over DeAndre Bembry. I feel like he has more potential, and the way this team is going, I really want to see more of Flynn. Then at the small forward, I would run Yuta Watanabe. And then after that, it gets kind of tricky, but I would go with Freddie Gillespie and Chris Boucher at the four and then at the five. You can interchange Gillespie and Boucher, whether the other team has a big center or whatever matchups, vice versa. But I think that 10-man rotation will be pretty good for the Raptors moving forward here.
Yeah, I think that's strong. I do think that, you know, Trent, whether it be in the starting lineup or the bench, I think he can find his production. I think the biggest thing here is just the rotations, because the lineups are the lineups, but it's when you're, whoever you're choosing to put on when. You know, once the five are done, who's the first guy to take off? It's usually Kyle. Do you start going the bigs and doing like the lineups that kind of work good together? I think that's the biggest key here, because I think Nick Nurse will find an opportunity to get all of the, you know, top performers, the hardest workers, their minutes. And I did forget about Bembry. That's another guy that can stretch in that rotation easily. Yeah. So I think we have capabilities now off the bench with the two big men that we've brought in. I think it's a more solid lineup that's come together, and I guess maybe more chemistry now with even Rodney Hood playing and Trent. Yeah. I think there's opportunities for our bench unit to succeed as long as they continue to play well.
Yep, and then looking at tonight's game, having his career high 30 points, shout out to Paul Watson, P. Watt. I thought he played amazing. And then that puts his name really in the conversation. So there's a lot of decision making here from Nick Nurse over the last couple of weeks that he's going to have to do. And in the season, this is really the breaking point of the season. You either win the games, you make the push for the playoffs, and you get it done, or you collapse and you just don't make the playoffs and try to get a high draft pick. So here, I think right now we're trying to push for the playoffs. And I think Paul Watson, I mean, he did have a great game tonight. He needs to do it more on a consistent basis. But other than that, I think he can be interchanged as well If Yuta's not having the best of stints or Flynn's not having the best of stints, Paul Watson can sub in there.
Yep, you know, I definitely agree. Like you said, they're kind of fighting for rotations here. I know I saw a comment on Instagram about this. It feels like it's been the tryouts because the starters have been resting, and it's literally just been seeing all the bench players play. Who's playing well, who's not? It's like, are you making the team or you're getting cut next year? Like, that's what it feels like. We've seen Baines already been pushed out of the rotation. Now who else is going to get, taken out of that? It's up to Nick Nurse really to decide what works best for him. And like you said, Adam, we are moving towards that playoff spot. It's looking good. 2 wins and a loss. We haven't seen that in a while. So we could be moving there. We are probably about, I think, like a half game back of the Bulls. We're closing in. We won tonight. They got their loss. It's really looking like a possibility for us. Now there's a chance here. So I really hope the Raptors can capitalize on it.
Yep. And then I kind of wanted to move on here with how important it is to beat the teams under a 500 win percentage to really give themselves a chance in this playoff push. I'm looking at the schedule right now. We got the Clippers twice in these last games. We got the Lakers, we got the Jazz, we got the Nuggets, and we got the Nets twice again. So there is a lot of teams that are very good, but we are also versing the Thunder, we're versing the Knicks, the Cavs a couple times. So we have teams that we can beat in this run. And I really want to emphasize how important it is to win the games we're supposed to win. Because I think that's what's going to determine if we can't win those games, the harder games, I feel like we won't do as well. But if we can win those games and gain some confidence, that's where I think the Raptors make the playoffs. If we don't, then I think they get stuck and they'll make it.
Yeah, you have to close out the winnable games. Even Chicago, it's like us. They have a couple of lighter games, but they also are versing some strong teams. It's really going to be about winning the must-win games, and we also verse them right near the end of the season, which could possibly be the biggest game, obviously, of the season. It could decide who makes that 10th seed. I think it's like the third last game, so it's going to come right down to the wire, I feel. And we're going to have to win as much as we can. There's really no room for error taking on the below 500 teams.
Yeah, and I also wanted to put in the point that a lot of these good teams, they're going to be having a lot of guys on rest. They're going to be having guys, I think, like KD, Irving, Harden. We might catch them on a back-to-back or a rest night, which is really good, and it gives us the chance. The Lakers, AD and LeBron, both out. The Clippers, Kawhi with his load management still. So we do have a lot of opportunity to catch a lot of these superstars on big teams with injury management or rest days or whatever, getting them ready for the playoffs. And we've got to take advantage of that.
I agree.
Now moving on to why are the Raptors resting players? This is a very interesting topic because if we're pushing for the playoffs, it doesn't make sense for us and the organization to be resting players. Gabe, what do you think goes into these decisions of resting these players?
I'm not sure. With this specifically, tonight was weird because we've been battling with injuries on some guys. Trent was out with that ankle injury. Fred came back from his injury and the suspensions. It did not seem like an opportunity for me to be resting guys like OG and Siakam, who came off a rest like a couple games ago. And then Kyle Lowry makes no sense to me. The guys had 3 rest nights in a row after already missing 6 games due to injury. He only played 1 game back. Stuff like that to me always points towards the direction of like tanking. Like, why are you resting your star players for no reason when they've barely played? To me, it looks like a tank. I know it does to many other people, but the thing with that doesn't make sense is that we managed to win a game. Chicago managed to lose the game. Chicago managed to lose again. We managed to win again tonight, and we're closing in on the playoff spot. So it doesn't make sense why we're resting guys when it looks like we're making the playoffs. And their reasoning was they're taking extreme precaution with our veteran Kyle Lowry in case we do make it.
No.
Well, we got to make it before we worry about if we make it, he needs to be healthy. We got to make it first. And if we need him to do that, he can't be sitting out 3 games in a row. That's like unheard of, to rest 3 games in a row.
Yeah, and it's very strange with Kyle, because I know Kyle we've been watching him for a long time, and we've seen him want to play in these end-of-season games, and it's very unlike him. I don't know if it's because he's aging in his career, the amount of injuries he's picked up of late, but it's just very strange that Kyle's not been playing. And then it's even more strange that guys like Siakam, OG, are getting rest in a playoff push. Like, we need these guys in. It doesn't set a good example for the younger guys trying to fight for the spot that the starters aren't even participating in the games. And it doesn't look like they're injured at all. They're all there at the games in their swagged out outfits.
Yep.
And they're sitting there like cheering on their team, which they should be doing, but I just feel like they should be in the games, and they'll feel, I think, really sad and down if they can't make the playoffs this season because they couldn't win games when they needed to.
Yeah, I understand people talking about that this shortened schedule, it's been causing injuries. The league officials, coaches, trainers, they've all talked about that. But I just feel like it's just very weird that we decide to rest so often. I get resting one night of the back-to-back, but both is weird. And then doing the next game even after doesn't make sense to me at all. But I also understand they are worse, like teams that we might be able to get away with without a couple stars, like the Spurs or the Magic, who are highly injured. But it was a very close game. Now we got OKC again, who we saw even when we had most of our lineup, and they were without any of their stars, we still couldn't beat them. And they had a lineup that was like age 20, starting lineup age 20. So we clearly have to have guys ready if we're going to make the playoffs. I think that now they've got their rest. Kyle, 3 games, that's plenty for playing 1 game's worth after injury. He's got to be back 100%, and I think OG Siakam as well. Trent, if he has to deal with the ankle, I respect that. That's fine. That's an injury. The other guy's resting. I think it's unacceptable at this point. They got to get back in the game immediately if we're going to make this push.
Yeah, and I think when the guys do come back, I don't think it's going to flow as well as it has been, really, with the young guys. And Gabe, I know you really like this lineup, what's happening right now. All the young guys are really putting a lot of effort into these games. They're really trying on defense. You can see it. Their offensive shot selection is very good. And they're making the most out of their time, that Nick Nurse, this opportunity they've been given, and they're really making the most out of it. So when these guys come back, Gabe, how do you think it's going to kind of mash up here?
That's another problem I had with the resting. I feel like you've been without guys every night. You're choosing to take someone out of the lineup, OG, Siakam, Kyle, and all the injuries we've had, now Trent before Van Vliet. We don't have time to gel as a unit. If we're trying to push for the playoffs, by the time we get there, we're going to be a broken team that's not going to be able to win a 7-game series because we're going to lack the chemistry. We're going to lack the familiarity playing with each other. The bench unit trying to play with the starters that have never been there. Like, they haven't played together. We're not going to gel. So I really think it's important that these guys have to come back and take the next, I don't know how many games we have left, maybe 15 or so, last like 15, 17 games to really hone in, play strong together, and start getting some chemistry before the playoffs or the play-in tournament.
Yeah, so strange, because Nick Nurse always says in the interviews as well, the most experience is the reps in gameplay, in the actual game, you know? So yep. I feel like with this resting, that's the total opposite. But anyway, moving on to our last topic before we get into the game recaps, what has to change for this Raptors team to be a certified playoff contender in the East? Obviously, we can't make any more moves, but like you said, Gabe, with the mixing and matching and styles of play with the different personnel we really have in this team of late, what do we do?
The rebounding was our biggest problem. I think we started to tackle that with the turn of these bigger lineups, bringing in guys like Birch and Gillespie. I feel like the rebounding has been not as big of a problem as it's been in games past. So I'm going to look past that. I think defending the three ball and, you know, playing solid defense as a team has been, you know, a problem throughout the season because we're struggling to guard one-on-one. Then a double team happens because an attacker blows by one of our defenders. And then we got a double team, and there's a guy open, the other team kicks the ball around, they find an open shot. So I think our defense as a team has to be much stronger, especially defending the three ball. We've let way too many open shots pass. And on the offensive end, I think we have to play as a team. I don't like seeing Siakam just ISO in the block. I don't like seeing, like, we got to play actual offense, pick and roll, move the ball. We play our best. We've seen it these past couple of games with the bench unit. They're playing fantastic basketball, moving the ball, finding whoever's hot. Sure, give them the hot hand, but get them the proper looks. Don't just be playing ISO ball with no offensive flow. So I think that's the key here, is the better offensive flow, offensive structure, and then playing solid defense as a team.
Yeah. For me, I have a couple key things that I want to really look into. The first one is, can Siakam really step up to that elite Siakam that we have seen in the championship run? Obviously, he wasn't the primary option there, but can he get back to that efficient style of play and really kind of helping the team, being the leader there. And Kyle and Fred, they obviously got to play their small ball self, really gritty self, making their shots. Both are good at playmaking, you know. So they got to play, I think, their best games for the Raptors to win a round. And the last one I really wanted to tackle is OG. When you look at all the top teams in the East, you look at the 76ers, you look at the Bucks, you look at the Nets, they all got their superstars of each team. You got Giannis, you got Durant, you got Simmons, you got Embiid. So there, it's going to be a lot of OG Anunoby. A lot of pressure is going to be on his shoulders to guard those main guys. And I really think if he can step up and really put in a good shift every night, 100%, and the team can kind of help him out just a little bit, I think the Raptors can win games. And I know a lot of pressure is going to be on the guy's shoulders, but that's what it is, and that's what playoff basketball represents, right?
Yeah, so I didn't think we were going to be talking too much individually. You want to talk individually, I agree. I think Siakam needs to come full form. But, you know, this is playoffs. Everyone needs to be on their best game. We need Fred to have his nights. We need Lowry to have their nights shooting the ball well. We need Siakam to be the strong player that we've seen before. Not in a while, but we've seen it. So he has some type of capability there. But like you said, I think OG Anunoby will be the key to this playoffs. I think if he has a very strong performance, if he's been as aggressive as we've seen, where he can put up 15-plus points a night easy, he shoots the three ball at a very high level, and he's playing that best defense, you know, some of the top in the league, trying to lock down other team's superstars, I think that will be the key for us winning or losing games.
Okay, and then talking about the bench, what do you think's happening there?
Yeah, and then bench, we are going to need, you know, every night a consistent performance, because we've seen when we go full bench unit, absolutely no starters. You lose a bit of offensive structure, you lose a bit of three-point making, but we need to have guys that are willing to step up. Once it's playoffs, it's different. Offense gets harder, but so does defense. You have to work just as hard. So I think that having a strong defensive, bench team and guys that work really hard, like Watanabe or Stanley or Kem Birch, Gillespie, Boucher, those guys, they're really going to have to lock in on defense, make it tough for the other team, and then work their butts off to get some nice baskets to hold off until those starters can come back in. So the bench unit will be extremely important. And obviously, like I said, OG Anunoby, I think those two will be the keys, because we know the other guys are capable of performing at the top level.
No, that is right. And we've seen each kind of bench player perform and have their super games on different nights. We just got to kind of see it mixed together and just everyone play good basketball at the same time. And obviously, that's really hard to do. And that's what the Raptors have been struggling with. But of late, the last couple games, with a lot of the starters out of this Raptors team, I think that the bench unit just has to perform. And they got to be on their A game. And they got to play really cohesive and work with cooperation. I think they really got to play together as a team. And I think that's the way to win. That's the way to win the games in the playoffs. And because the starters aren't going to have it every night. And we've seen that in previous playoff runs. Kawhi sometimes didn't have his nights. Siakam sometimes didn't have his nights. So did Lowry. So the bench unit has to be very strong. And obviously in that year with Fred VanVleet, Norman Powell, having those guys really help them and push them forward.
Yeah, we're going to need that exact same thing. Bench has to be able to play. And like you said, we've seen great performances from bench players on individual nights. We need to try putting it together to make everyone playing well. And we got to just feed off each other's energy. Once you find the hot guy who's making his shots, you got to feed off it, and then it will look bigger for everybody. All right, so now we're going to get into the games here. The first is the Atlanta Hawks, and this one, sadly, is another loss before we get into the good stuff. Atlanta won this one 108-103. Pretty much the story of this game was Atlanta kind of played very strong basketball, and the fourth quarter we made a little bit of an attempt to bring a comeback here, but I thought Atlanta played well. They had great players in Bogdanovich, very tough to guard all night. Great talent, honestly. I liked watching him play. He's a great scorer. He had 23 points, 6 boards, 4 assists on 9 for 18 shooting. Clint Capella was another animal, as usual. 19 points, 21 rebounds, 7 for 11 shooting. They were two of the problems there, but also Herter was a scoring threat with 17 points and Goodwin with 18. They just played really solid basketball. Our performers, we had Siakam, who put up 30 points, 6 boards, 7 rebounds, 13 for 19 shooting. This is the game we like to see from him, filling up the points category, but also rebounding the ball, assisting, and shooting the ball well. 5 turnovers on the night was a little not the best for him, but he picked up 2 blocks as well. OG, solid night. 15 points, 6 boards, 7 for 12 shooting. Trent really struggled to shoot, man. 3 for 15 on the night was a big problem there that he wasn't getting going. And Malachi Flynn struggled most of the game to play. You look at the stats, you don't see it. Most of the game it was tough. He wasn't shooting the ball, but he woke up at the best time. We've seen it a couple games. He tends to have this thing like Fred VanVleet, that fourth quarter clutchness. Flynn hit like back-to-back-to-back-to-back threes. He was just making like these insane shots right at the very end, keeping it so close, but we couldn't get all the way there. He had a chance to make a really tough shot in the corner that kind of bounced off the back rim, but he did make some miraculous threes there and got really hot at the end. So shout out to him. Saw a bit of clutchness. I like to see that. And then even Ken Birch off the bench, he had a good performance. 13 points, 7 boards in 25 minutes, 5 for 6 shooting, 2 steals and a block. Obviously, we like what we've seen from Birch so far, right, Adam?
Yeah, Ken Birch has been amazing in these last couple of games since he's came. And he's, like you said, Gabe, I thought he is a little bit more mobile, and he has a little bit more handles than I thought. And he's not just an inside scorer. Like, he can shoot the midi. He's a very good screener. You can do different things with him. He's mobile, like I said, but he's very, I would say, more skilled than Aaron Baines, just straight up. I totally think he brings more assets and elements to his game that make it harder for the defense to guard.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't have the best jump shot. Obviously, he's not been able to shoot the three traditionally. But I think that he just has something special about him. I don't know what it is. I watch him, and he doesn't seem like a center to me. He plays like a power forward, very mobile. He is 6'9". He is not the heaviest, but he plays strong. He plays physical, great verticality. And like you said, he has that dribble move, which I wasn't expecting. He has a bit of the passing game, the driving kicks. Baines was very stagnant and didn't have the ability to drive or dribble the ball too much. He'd get it stolen or make a mistake. Birch, you can give him the ball. He can ISO a guy and go at him and drive and kick, which helps make a more fluent offense for our team. So I really like seeing him do that.
Yeah. And he's getting the ball in good spots, and he's making the right decisions. I really feel that Birch is really fitting in to the system, and it's showing by the percentages he's shooting, always shooting over 50%, playing very good on the defensive end, always steals and blocks on his stat sheet. And he's rebounding the ball, so I can't ask for more from Ken Birch, man.
Yeah. All right, so on to the next game, Spurs-Raptors. So this one, Fred was serving his suspension because he was cleared from the injury. Kyle, like we said, resting. Trent, injury. And then Bembry as well had his hamstring injury. So the team, you know, we saw Birch make his move to the starting lineup. Him with Boucher, Ananobi, Siakam, Flynn. Very big lineup, obviously. Ananobi at the 2 there, 6'8". We've got size, clearly. And I thought it was interesting. You know, we saw the starters all end up in double digits. That was great. Birch had 14 points, 6 rebounds, 6 for 9 shooting, 2 blocks. Another solid night from him. Ananobi, 22 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, 7 for 15 shooting, 2 steals. He was lighting it up. Boucher, 12 and 12. Good solid numbers from him. Siakam, 20-11-6, but he shot 7 for 20. And then Flynn, he had 16 points, 4 boards, 7 assists, but shot kind of poor, as 4 for 14. But he had 2 steals on the night. Flynn, I've noticed he struggled a bit to shoot the ball, but he did put up good numbers, and he's been doing a good job playmaking. That's been his primary role, to try getting other guys going, and he's been putting up good assist numbers. But that starting lineup all in double digits, we haven't seen that in a while. And then even off the bench, we got some contribution. Watanabe, 11 points in 19 minutes, 4 boards to go along with that and a steal. And then Freddie Gillespie, 9 points, 8 boards, 1 assist, and 2 blocks in 18 minutes. I think that was very impressive from him. Obviously, last 2 games of possibly his 10-day contract, he has to show off what he has to offer, and I think he's been really aggressive, scoring the ball well, like we said. And then even Watson contributed 9 points off the bench here. So we basically saw probably one of our best bench performances. We had a contribution a little bit from everybody, roughly put up, I think, 33 points off the bench. I think that's a solid performance from what we've seen in other games.
Yeah, I totally think that. And one decision I think a Nurse has to really make here, with these younger guys, you got Watanabe, Gillespie, and you got Watson. Do you put Rodney Hood and Stanley Johnson, more veteran guys, on top of those guys? Or if the younger guys are playing better, and I'm talking about in the playoffs, because I know right now he's playing the younger guys a lot more minutes, but in the playoffs, do you go with Johnson and Hood over the younger guys?
Honestly, that's up to Nick Nurse to decide. I think the hot hand always works, but then again, you could see what pressure does to people. It gets tough, especially in the playoffs time. Some guys haven't been in there. They don't know it too well. There's obviously room for to grow, and players got to eventually experience like those young guys. But if we're really pushing for the win and it's big minutes, it might have to be the veterans. I guess it's up to Nick Nurse. And then on the San Antonio Spurs side, DeMar DeRozan put up 19 points, 11 boards. Felt like he didn't have to do that much this game. He didn't have to force his shots. I felt he really just did a great job of driving and then dishing, getting 11 assists on the night, really just getting his teammates involved. You know, Derek White was a little more aggressive with the scoring. He had 25 points, 7 for 16 shooting, 5 assists of his own. You had Patty Mills, 23 points. He was lighting it up from 3 the minute he came in. Ended with 5 3 balls on the night. And some other guys that scored pretty well, Keldon Johnson, 10 points, Jonte Murray, 11. They just had solid contributors in their team. Everyone kind of put up numbers, but we did come away with the victory, which, you know, very grateful for. We haven't seen it in a while, but I'm glad that we were able to come out with this one.
Yep, and Gabe, like I've noticed, with the sharpshooters, opponents being sharpshooters, we haven't guarded them well all year. And I noticed this has become a trend. On our team, do you see one specific guy playing defense in the playoffs against those perimeter guys in clutch moments? I don't know if I was looking at Bembry, Watanabe, Kyle and Van Vliet always have experience, but they haven't been doing an amazing job on defense. And I'm more talking about Kyle Lowry because Fred has been doing great on defense, obviously, and in the Defensive Player of the Year ladder for top 10 this season. So do you have a certain guy in mind for like perimeter sharpshooting type player?
It honestly depends who the player is, how hot they're getting, whether they're a starter or a bench player, at least for me. Like you said, I think this season's been really rough trying to guard shooters. That's why I kind of made the point of defense needs to be our focus in the playoffs. I think that if it was a starter, obviously, you're going to put one of your top defenders. If it's one of their star players, it's going to OG. If it's just a guy that's really hot, one of the guards that's shooting well, you could put Fred on him. Or I think Watanabe or Stanley could be the move. I don't feel like Stanley's going to be getting the most minutes because I feel like he hasn't been performing as well as others. I really think Watanabe is a very solid defender for many positions. The point guard would obviously be a little undersized. If it was a small forward, power forward, someone like that, he can do a great job on him. He can even guard a tall guard. But I think he's a great asset to have. And then Bembry, we've seen he's capable of playing some solid defense, but I feel like he tends to get into foul trouble with very skillful guards.
Yep, no, I can see that, and I could also see your point with Watanabe having his quick foot movement and his length. He doesn't need to stay too close because he can just reach over the smaller guards to kind of protect the shot, and he could stay back to guard the drive. So I think Watanabe, that would be a solid option. I really think, though, that could be a key.
Yeah, even Trent, I don't even want to put down Trent. Trent's actually a quite a solid defender. He's got a little more height than some of our other guards. Fast hands, he can do a good job of staying close to the shooter and inviting him to the drive. I think that would be his best attribute there if you put him on him. I think he does a good job of doing that, staying tight. And then when he invites the drive, we just need to help defense to be solid and guys to rotate on their man. And that also could be an option, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we have options, and Nick Nurse has to make these decisions, and hopefully they turn out the correct ones, man.
Yeah. All right. Now to tonight's game, Orlando Magic versus the Toronto Raptors. Once again, we came out with a victory, 113-102. Very impressive game for us. We were down at halftime, and I was like, how are we losing to these guys? Obviously, they are a huge rebuilding team. They set back, they lost Vucevic, they lost Gordon, and they lost Fournier. So they really set their team back in age. And obviously we had guys out as well, but I thought that we should have easily be outplaying these guys. I felt like we had a stronger team, stronger performance. And the second half, we really showed that. We had Paul Watson absolutely explode on his scoring, taking over the third quarter and sending us home. And in the fourth quarter as well, we started off pretty strong, making buckets and extending our lead to around 20 points at one point. And we pretty much then closed it out. So I thought, honestly, fantastic performance in the end. We really saw bench players step up. Adam, thoughts?
Yep, I thought Yuta played well, obviously off the bench with 21. Freddie, obviously in the last game of his contract, 10 points, 7 rebounds, really doing it on the defensive end. Johnson, surprisingly, in my opinion, had a great game here, 13 points, 6 rebounds, on 5 of 8 shooting. And yeah, I thought we played great. Paul Watson obviously has that big explosion, which we needed, with all our main guys out. And Ken Birch also put in a solid shift with three blocks, a steal, really holding it down in the paint, rim protecting, doing his job. Yep. And Flynn had a little bit of a quiet night. So, and I wanted you also to talk about Chris Boucher, Gabe. I noticed you had an opinion on him after this game.
Yeah, so honestly, this team, we kind of distributed our minutes really well. I think everyone had an opportunity to shine. I feel like Boucher has taken a little bit of a back seat. In terms of just being aggressive with it, we know he likes to put up his shots. When he gets his looks, he's not afraid to shoot it, obviously, rightfully so. But I feel like he hasn't, ever since I think really Birch and Gillespie kind of came in the scene, I feel like, you know, they kind of stole away some of the show of blocking shots and defending and getting involved in the pick and roll. I don't know if Boucher wants more, he wants more touches as games pass. I feel like he's not shooting as much. We've seen him shoot multiple threes in a game. This game only taking six shots, 1 3-pointer. I feel like it was a little bit surprising. I know obviously he's capable. He definitely can score more. But maybe, you know, he's understanding the role now of a little more of a team ball game with Birch coming in as a more stronger center, and then even having Gillespie off the bench, going with all these different pieces, Watanabe, guys that are playing good. I'm just surprised that he's taken a little bit more of a backseat here, because he really had that step up explosion, pulling his career high, and I feel like he was on a track to be a scoring machine again.
Yeah, as much as we aren't seeing those huge double-double performances from Boucher and those huge block nights anymore, he's still doing his job, and I could really accept the fact that he's taking kind of a little of a backseat here with Freddie and Birch really coming into the scene. So I can understand. I can really relate to him in this situation.
Yeah, so to go over again, Flynn, he didn't shoot the best this game, but he did have 8 assists. He did a good job of playmaking. Boucher still put up 11 and 7, so it wasn't horrible. And then Paul Watson, that career high 30, he really just took us home. That third quarter, he dominated, and he continued to make some buckets in the fourth. Watanabe, he had the first half. That was his scoring outburst. And then at the end, he put some more in the fourth quarter to get his career high as well on 7 for 11 shooting. So they both shot really efficiently, put up good numbers. That's what we love to see, those two guys kind of fighting for that spot. And yeah, I think everyone just did their part here. Great team game. You know, our bench got a little excited watching us shoot the ball so well, and, you know, rightfully so, even needing a game like this where we can just relax. We shot the ball well. We had a nice, comfortable lead, and the bench unit got a time to shine. All right, I think that's pretty much it. Hope you all enjoyed. Please like and subscribe. Check us on Instagram at RapsPhil for NBA news, Raptors content. Leave your comments down below. We could be back in it, guys. We're making this push. We got to win these games, and, you know, let's see it happen.
Yep.
All right, that's us signing out. Peace.
Peace.